I'm Nancy Cheek-Samora. I'm from the University of Missouri, and I also work at the Thompson Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities. I'm going to talk today about disparities in healthcare transition for youth with ASD. So conservative estimates show that 1 out of 150 children have an ASD diagnosis. There's a wide range of severity and behavior and learning profiles in these kids, but many of the symptoms or problems sort of stem around communication issues, social integration issues, and then the need for routines. In addition to their behavioral and communication difficulties, many children and youth with ASD have comorbid psychiatric and medical conditions such as anxiety and depression, seizure disorder, gastrointestinal problems, and sleeping disorders. Nearly half of them have a major coexisting condition that requires regular medical attention. So this combination of developmental disabilities and comorbid conditions increases their dependence on the healthcare system, both during childhood, adolescence, and then as well when they get into adulthood. As Lauren actually talked about, there's a high unmet need for all children with special healthcare needs, but particularly for youth with ASD. And we see this both for the children as well as for family support system services. This is a study that we did at the Thompson Center, and it showed particularly high need for speech and language therapies, occupational and physical therapies, and behavioral therapies for those kiddos, and then mental health services for families as well as respite and genetic counseling for families. But as they transition into adulthood, these needs become even more difficult to meet. This was a study by Schatz, and they found that after leaving high school, young adults with autism spectrum disorder typically receive half as many services as they did when they were in high school. A positive transition for these youth from pediatric services to adult healthcare services is really important to create a solid foundation in which they can have an adaptive life course and use services appropriately into adulthood. So that's where healthcare transition services come in. Healthcare transition services are used to ensure that youth receive the services needed to transition into all aspects of life. So that includes work, that includes healthcare setting, and that includes independent living. In healthcare transition services, we try to meet all of those goals, but we really focus on making sure that we provide a planned movement from child-centered healthcare services to adult-oriented services. And this has been shown to have many positive outcomes, including retaining health insurance, decreasing gaps in medical care, and improving quality of life. Unfortunately, youth with special healthcare needs receive the service only 40% of the time. It's predicted by several different factors, including individual factors such as age, gender, ethnicity, and complexity of condition. Family factors include household setting, parent education, income, and insurance status, of course. And then there are several healthcare quality factors such as satisfaction with care, decision-making, and if you have a medical home or not, that also affects if you have healthcare transition services or not. So although this previous research that I went over really tells us a lot about youth with special healthcare needs and how they access healthcare transition services, it isn't clear if this information is able to extend our understanding of youth with autism spectrum disorder, and no study has really looked at this population specifically. So I wanted to address this gap with my study. I'm going to investigate the prevalence of healthcare transition services for youth with autism spectrum disorder. I want to look at the differences in that prevalence from youth with ASD compared to youth with other special healthcare needs. And then I use logistic regression to identify the relationship between that access to healthcare transition services for the youth with ASD by individual characteristics, family factors, and then the healthcare system quality factors. So like Lauren, I used the 2005-2006 National Survey of Children with Special Healthcare Needs, and this is sponsored by Maternal Child and Health Bureau, as we know. They used a computer-assisted landline telephone interview technology to randomly sample nationally representative households throughout the 50 states. Of course, parents that knew most about the kids were the ones that conducted the interview, and the total sample is almost 41,000 children with special health care needs. My study looks specifically at youth, so that the group 12 to 17 years of age, so that we pared it down just a little, and then part of my analysis is looking at youth with ASD only, which was 806 people. I used chi-squares and ANOVAs to examine the differences between youth with ASD and youth with other special health care needs, and then I used logistic regression models to explore whether healthcare transition services were associated with individual family or health services characteristics. Okay, so how do we define healthcare transition services? There's four component measures that we use that really sort of get at the discussions between the provider, the family member, and the youth. The first three discussions are about, okay, did your doctor talk to you about shifting to an adult healthcare provider? Did they talk to you about healthcare needs of an adult? So how is your body going to change, and what does that really mean for you? And then did they talk to you about insurance continuation? So is your insurance status going to change when you become 20, 21, or 26 in some cases? And then the last discussion was really asking, does your doctor encourage you as a youth with ASD to take on more appropriate healthcare responsibilities, such as taking your own medications, or maybe being able to explain what your disability really is? And so how often did they encourage that responsibility? So to get this, what I call appropriate healthcare transition, you had to have all three of the first, 1, 2, and 3, and then you had to usually or always be encouraged to take on more responsibilities when you were in that doctor's office. Oh, there you go. So within my logistic regression, I explored many different variables that have been shown to be associated with healthcare transition in the youth with special healthcare needs population. I looked at a lot of severity measures, as you can see. That was a big area I wanted to explore, as well as I created four mutually exclusive variables that examined the prevalence of comorbid conditions. And this is based on the Nagorn and colleagues article that was published in 2009. But let me be specific about what's in these variables. So to be in the developmental disability group, you had Down syndrome, intellectual disability, or cerebral palsy. Mental health conditions included attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, depression, anxiety, or emotional problems. And physical health, it was asthma, diabetes, and several different other disabilities, from seizure disorder to allergies. And then if you had more than one of these other preceding categories, 1, 2, and 3, you were in the multiple health conditions. So these people had two or more. We also had some severity measures, or some family factors, as you can see, and some health system quality factors that I put into the regression. So the results. So just wanted to talk a little bit about what my sample looked like. The vast majority of the youth with autism spectrum disorder were non-Hispanic white and were male. Youth with ASD differed from youth with other special health care needs in many different ways. Here you can see they were younger and they were more often male. The majority of youth with ASD had multiple health conditions and severe limitations in ability and functioning. As we will see in the next couple slides, excuse me, the youth with ASD had strong family resources, but still a third of them had financial problems that were due to youth health condition. And I think that was one of the good variables that Lauren talked about, but I'm going to have to talk to her later. And then, as you can see, many of them had developmental disabilities, when we compared them to the youth with other special health care needs, they had a lot more limitations in ability and functioning, and they were more likely to have developmental disabilities, physical disabilities, and multiple health conditions. So here is that example of those family resources I was talking about. The majority of youth with ASD came from a family with a high school education or higher. They came from a family that was a moderate income or higher, and they almost always had private insurance or private and public insurance. But the quality of the healthcare services was not good, as you can see. Only about a third of youth with ASD and their had families that participated in decision making and had satisfaction with care, and then less than a quarter had a medical home. And this was, again, statistically significantly lower than the youth with other special healthcare needs. So now thinking about that healthcare transition again, and this is looking at only youth with ASD, less than a quarter of youth with ASD received healthcare transition services. Within the component items, only 14% of youth with ASD had a discussion with their pediatrician about switching to that adult provider. Just over 40% talked to the healthcare provider about adult healthcare needs, and less than a quarter of youth with ASD had a similar discussion about health insurance retention. When we examined the youth providers, if they encouraged them to take appropriate responsibility, only less than half of them got that encouragement, as you can see. So then I compared that to the youth with ASD to youth with other special health care needs as my second aim, and we can see that there's great differences between these two groups. Youth with ASD were half as likely to receive healthcare transition services and a third as likely to be encouraged to take on more responsibility. Discussions about transition to an adult provider and adult healthcare need discussions occurred significantly less frequently than youth with other special healthcare needs, and having a discussion about health insurance continuation, that's our fourth group over, that was the only variable in which they were not significantly different. We also calculated odds ratios and confidence intervals, although I didn't present that information here, but we found that the odds of youth with ASD receiving healthcare transition services was 64% lower than youth with other special healthcare needs, and they were 70%, they had 70% lower odds of being encouraged to take on more responsibility. We've seen slight differences in previous studies between youth with special healthcare needs when we look at the different groups, but nothing as significant as this. So looking at that in that logistic regression, we found that individual and family and healthcare system factors predicted the receipt of healthcare transition services, but family factors did not. Only one demographic factor was shown to predict healthcare transition services, specifically being Hispanic compared to non-Hispanic, decreased your odds of receiving healthcare transition services by 71% for youth with ASD. A variety of those chronic condition and severity measures were included in the analysis, but only our condition or chronic condition variables were shown to be predictive. Having a developmental disability made a youth with ASD 22% less likely to receive healthcare transition services, and having multiple health conditions in addition to your autism spectrum disorder decreased the odds of receiving healthcare transition services by 81%. Lastly, participants who reported being a partner in decision-making and satisfied with their care were three times more likely to get healthcare transition services. So that had a positive effect. So sort of to summarize those logistic regression findings, youth with ASD who had more complex health conditions were much less likely to receive healthcare transition services. And this is due to a number of reasons. We think that people with these multiple health conditions, or the youth with ASD with multiple health conditions, are a more challenging case to their healthcare provider. And so thinking about adding another responsibility on that healthcare provider is overwhelming to them. They also aren't trained to work with children with youth with special healthcare needs, especially those with developmental disabilities and communication problems. And they're also not always compensated for healthcare transition services. So this is definitely a problem. But on a positive note, quality of healthcare services provided a protective factor for these youth, and we need to think of how we can increase that, certainly, with time. Severity measures and family factors that were shown to predict healthcare transition in previous studies had no effect within our study, and this may be due to the homogenous makeup of our ASD population. So we had some limitations. Partitioning the sample into that small ASD population may have decreased its representativeness. As we talked about before, it's parent report, so that could bias our sample a little bit. And we can't look at causal relationships because it's a point in time estimate. Also, my definition is just very limited in scope. So this is the one that is recommended by Maternal Child and Health Bureau, of course, but it doesn't get to the quality or quantity of those healthcare transition discussions, which is very important. So in conclusion, youth with ASD experience significant disparities within the receipt of healthcare transition services. Less than a quarter of youth with ASD get healthcare transition services, and they are half as likely to receive these services when compared to youth with other special healthcare needs. Comorbid conditions and quality of healthcare services were strong predictors for healthcare transition services, but demographic and family factors accounted for little variance. Education is very important, and we really need to think about how we can train our providers as well as our families and youth to ask for these services and work together as a team to get them. Thank you so much.